In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's great to be with you. And we always like to begin our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. We're in the month of May, which is the month of Mary. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. So we'd like to invite Mary to be with us. Also, when we pray that beautiful prayer at the end of the rosary, the Hail Holy Queen, we address Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invite Mary to pray with us and to be with us during our Perseverance Family Conversation, praying together the prayer that she loves most, and that prayer is the Hail Mary. Together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's now invite our spiritual director to be with us. Indeed, what a privilege it is to have as our spiritual director the Holy Spirit, known also as the Paraclete, as well as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known to be the sweet guest of our souls in the sequence. He's in our lives, he's our counselor, as well as in the midst of the trials that we all have to go through. As we're reading the Acts of the Apostles, Paul says, it's necessary for us to go through many trials to enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's turn to the Holy Spirit, who's also known as the Interior Master. That refers specifically to prayer. As Paul says in his letter to the Romans, we don't really know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. Let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us light in our intellect and the interior fire of love to burn within our hearts, as we say. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. How true, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. Welcome all to our Perseverance family, and we always start off by prayer. Then, following up upon prayer, I promise to pray for all of you, especially in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Because the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is by far the greatest of all prayers. It's the greatest of all prayers. No greater prayer than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We can even call it the Opus Dei, the great work of God. So pray that first intention that we will be open to the Holy Spirit. Step at a time, we're going through the Acts of the Apostles. In this Easter season, which lasts 50 days, up until the feast day of Pentecost. This book is known as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. Last night in Spanish in my mission in St. John the Baptist in Baldwin Park, which I'm going through the Acts of the Apostles, I introduced the people to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I explain in detail the first gift, which is the gift of wisdom. Pray that we would be open, docile to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The breath of Christ, that we would open our hearts to the breath of Christ, that He would breathe upon our minds, our hearts, our wills, our whole beings. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. That might be a prayer that you repeat during the course of the day. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. My next intention, I'd like to pray for your families, especially your children. That in these difficult times, that you as parents, as teachers of your children, will not allow your children to be contaminated by this transgender, LGBT, false philosophy that is being promoted and pushed in many academic environments. I invite you all to be very careful with your children, to instill in their hearts a correct understanding of human anthropology. That God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And God created male and female. There's only the possibility of being a man or a woman. It's incumbent upon you to insist that your children understand that. Otherwise, you're going to have children that will be growing up with a lot of confusion. Take that seriously, your children and your grandchildren. My third intention would be I'd like to pray in a special way for world peace. As well as praying for the abolition of abortion, that Roe versus Wade would be overturned, that our country, which is based on this principle that every human being is endowed with inalienable rights, and those rights would be that of life, liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That our country would return to these basic precepts that are so important. The importance and the dignity of the human person. So those are my prayers for all of you, for all of us today as I celebrate Mass, placing all those prayers on the altar. A few ideas before we delve into the riches of the Word of God. Do you know, any of you know, what happened 102 years ago today? Well, about a year earlier, there was a woman with a lot of problems. She was far away from her relatives. She lost a little daughter earlier. Her husband was a retired military officer. The country was being racked by wars. And she also had problems with her health. Renal problems. So in 1919, she found out she was pregnant with another child. She had a son. She had a son, and her daughter died. And she said yes to life. She brought forth a very healthy little boy. And she named that boy Carol. His last name is Wojtyla. Carol Wojtyla, and that is this person that we're looking at right now. So, today, my friends, we call to mind the birthday of Carol Wojtyla, who would go on to be Pope John Paul II. Against all odds, he was brought into the world and he became one of the greatest men in the history of the world. Thanks be to God, and thanks to his mother who said yes to life. For that reason, we want to always be promoting life. We are people of life. From the very moment of conception until natural death, life is sacred. Life comes from God. God is the author and origin of all life. But also, life ends when God wants that life to end. We are ministers. We should be ministers of life, promoters of life in all stages. So let's invite Pope John Paul II to be with us. Very important person in my life. And actually, my friends, a week from today, 36 years ago, a week from today, John Paul II actually ordained me a priest. So, you celebrate birthdays, you celebrate wedding anniversaries. We as priests, we celebrate our priestly anniversaries. So, I ask you to pray for me as well as to pray for all priests. And I happen to be ordained, as many of you know, I was ordained by Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Basilica. It was May 25th, 1986, and it happened to be the solemnity of the Blessed Trinity. What a privilege. What a privilege it was to have been ordained by John Paul the Great. What a privilege. All right. And today is a feast day of Pope John the First, who was a pope that was made a pope when he was sickly, and he basically had to fight against the Arian heresy. The Arian heresy, which denied the divinity of Christ. The early church's problems were dogmatic, Christological heresies. And he fought to defend the fact that Christ is the Son of God made man. I'd like to finish up on what I said yesterday. Yesterday our talk was based on the word shalom. Because the gospel, yesterday we had John chapter 14. Jesus said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives peace. And Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. So we mentioned the word shalom. Shalom is a word from the language of Jesus, which means peace be with you. Now, he's mentioning the importance of greetings. Mentioning the importance of greetings. One of those social virtues. And they put you to the test. I asked you, when you're walking towards someone you know, a relative or a friend or an acquaintance, do you take the initiative to greet that person? Or do you wait for that person to greet you? Good question. If you're always waiting for them to greet you, smugly crossing your arms, waiting for them to greet you, there might be a hidden form of pride in us, in which we think, well, I'm the more important person. That person should first greet me, and then I'll greet the person back. Conversely, when you take the initiative, to greet another person, then you're practicing several virtues. Number one is you're practicing the virtue of humility. Humility in which you're putting another person before yourself, and that's an act of humility. Also, it's an act of courtesy and respect for the other person. Still more, you're practicing the virtue of charity. And charity means, defined by St. Thomas Aquinas, charity is you will the good of another. By willing the good of the other, you're practicing charity. Practicing charity. So, greeting. Then I tried to build upon greeting or welcoming in a more domestic sense in this way. Many of you are homemakers and mothers. How would you grade yourself in the way you greet your children and your husband when he comes home from work and your children come back from school? How would you grade yourself from 0 poor to 10 best? Maybe a 5? Maybe a 6? Maybe it depends upon the day. However, I would just like to say that welcoming someone is very important. Giving someone a warm welcome is very important. Whereas turning a cold shoulder and being distant and indifferent and apathetic is not pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to God. And I was thinking about that yesterday in this sense. The city in the United States that has most gang members obviously is going to be Los Angeles. Why do you have so many gang members in Los Angeles? Cholos or cholas. Well, one of the reasons would be that when these gang members would come home as children, as teenagers, maybe there was no one there to welcome them. In other words, they entered into a cold, indifferent vacuum environment in which there was no welcoming, no family to welcome them. We all need a family. So what is a gang? It's the street family. If I'm not going to experience the love, the warmth, the concern, the attention in my own home, I'm going to look for it in some other place. I'll look for it in some other place. I'll look for it possibly in the street with the gang members. Because, my friends, we all want to be loved. We all want to be loved. We don't feel that welcome, the warmth, the love in our families. We're going to look for it somewhere else. I know what I'm saying is painful, but I really believe what I'm saying is very true. In building upon this attitude of welcoming, which Jesus says shalom to the apostles, peace be with you, there are biblical passages that speak about this. Greetings. For example, the Archangel Gabriel greets Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace. Then after Mary says yes to God, Mary goes in haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And Mary greets her cousin Elizabeth, probably saying shalom, and Elizabeth is filled with joy. She rejoices and says, blessed are you among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb. So the Hail Mary, which is the angelic salutation, consists of two greetings. The Archangel Gabriel greeting Mary, and Mary greeting Elizabeth. The first two joyful mysteries are mysteries of greeting. Is there another passage? Of course, there are many passages where you have welcoming, greetings. And one would be the friends of Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were friends of Jesus. They lived on the outskirts of Jerusalem, maybe about a mile and a half away from the city of Jerusalem, in a town called Bethany. And Jesus occasionally would visit their homes. They would greet Jesus, open up the door, and welcome Jesus. And Mary would sit at the feet of Jesus, welcoming Jesus by her presence. Then we have Jesus invites himself to the home of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus into his home. After Matthew is called by Jesus, he says, come follow me. And Matthew, what does he do? He opens up his home and welcomes Jesus to a banquet that night. So all of these, my friends, are passages that refer to the importance of greeting and welcoming people. Then I would have to say of paramount importance in our lives . How do we greet Jesus Christ when we go into our church? How do we greet him? Soldiers will greet. When we go into the church, we look for the home of Christ. Where is Christ? He's present in the tabernacle. So we should have our attention fixed on where Jesus is present in every Catholic church, in the tabernacle, and of course, the vigil lamp. The red vigil lamp points to the presence of Christ. We greet him by making a good genuflection. With our right knees, we go all the way down to the ground, making a good genuflection. Originally, that was done in front of a king or queen, his majesty. And now it's done in front of Jesus, who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. 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 And then, when we receive Jesus Christ in Holy Communion, how do we welcome the Eucharistic Lord into our hearts? Hopefully with great love and enthusiasm. With great love and great enthusiasm. Now, my friends, if we practice warmth, hospitality, welcome, greeting, courtesy, attention toward others, and if we greet Jesus when we come to his house and we receive him into our home with great love, then, at the end of our life when we die, then our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will welcome us into our heavenly home. Amen. So, shalom. Shalom, shalom. Peace be with you. So, my friends, I thought that was a very important topic yesterday, and I just wanted to put the finishing touches, the icing on the cake, so to speak, on the topic of welcoming and greeting others. And by doing that, we're doing that to Christ. All right. Let's move now into the riches of the Word of God. Interesting, today we're in the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles and the 15th chapter of St. John. And today we see this. that some of the Jewish converts, some of the Jewish converts to Christianity had this idea. If you become a follower of Christ, you're still a Jew and you have to follow the Mosaic law. Their idea was becoming a follower of Christ doesn't mean that you just discard all the laws of Moses and all that is contained in the Mosaic practices. So those who are coming from Judea were instructing the brother saying, unless you're circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you can't be saved. That was a very, very strong statement that they're making. So there was dissension and debate among this by Paul and Barnabas, who didn't agree with this. So Paul and Barnabas were at odds with this concept of Jewish converts. So they decided that they would not decide by themselves, but they would travel to Jerusalem, where they would meet the apostles and the presbyters about this question. So they travel from Phoenicia to Samaria. Telling of the great conversion of the Gentiles to the faith. And of being aware of many Gentiles becoming Christian, this brought great joy to all the brethren. Now they weren't used the word brethren, meaning that once we become Christians, Catholics, then we are brothers and sisters in Christ. For that reason, we call this the perseverance family. We're not united by blood bonds, but rather we're united in the spirit. It says when they arrive at Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church. Once again, we have the idea of being welcomed by the church, and they're welcomed by the apostles and the presbyters. So the church of Jerusalem, the apostles, the priests, give Paul and Barnabas a warm welcome. Then Paul and Barnabas, they report what God has been doing through them. They're preaching in many converts, but remember yesterday that Paul was actually stoned and his friends thought that he was killed. So not only are they preaching the Word of God and there's a lot of success, but also they're getting a lot of opposition. For that reason, Paul will say it's necessary to pass through many trials to enter the kingdom of heaven. So they're going to be discussing what the Pharisees say it is necessary to be circumcised and to obey the Mosaic law. So the apostles and the presbyters, they come together to discuss this. The circumcision was the exterior sign that the Jew belonged to God. St. Paul will go on to be preaching on this, saying that circumcision for the Christian, for the Catholic, is not so much the physical circumcision, but it's rather, Thomas Aquinas says, it's our baptism. So what the circumcision was for the Jews, the baptism is for the Christian Catholic. Baptism, which all of you have received, which transforms us into sons of God, brothers of Jesus Christ, and intimate friends with the Holy Spirit. Okay, the responsorial psalm, Psalm 122. We have the antiphon. It is, let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. I rejoice because they said to me, we will go up to the house of the Lord, and now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem. It's a psalm, a song of those Jews who are returning from exile. The Jews were in exile for many years, the Babylonian exile. When finally they were allowed to return to Jerusalem, they rejoiced. In a certain sense, we should rejoice after, for example, the coronavirus pandemic. In many places the churches were closed for safety purposes. Many churches were closed. Now the doors of the churches are open. So we can say with the psalmist, I rejoice when they heard, I rejoiced because they said to me, we will go to the house of the Lord. So, my friends, how do we interpret this? Let us make a proposal to go to the house of the Lord. Let's make a proposal to go to the house of the Lord. To visit the Lord. I remember I learned a short poem as a child related to this topic. And the poem was, whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit so that when I die, the Lord will not say, who is it? I thought you'd like that. Whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit so that when I die, the Lord will not say, who is it? So let's get in the habit, my friends, of visiting God's house. Visiting God's house, visiting the church. Whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit, so when I die, the Lord will not say, who is it? But let's even go beyond that. Let's even go beyond that. And not only going to church, but going to Mass. By far, the greatest prayer in the whole world is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Nothing greater than that. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. How privileged it is that we're able to go to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Countries where there's religious persecution, you have the underground church in which the priest has to celebrate the Mass clandestine for fear of being apprehended by the government and thrown in jail. That happens in communist countries. We should be thankful that we're living in a free country, at least up to now. We're able to have recourse to the open doors of the church and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Holy sacrifice of the Mass. Now, my friends, Yesterday's gospel, which was John chapter 14, we move into John chapter 15. Jesus said, Shalom, peace be with you. Didn't have too much time to comment on the word peace, so I'd like to briefly comment on that. Then let's move into John chapter 15. What is peace? Well, the word in Hebrew is shalom, peace be with you. The great doctor of grace, his name is Saint Augustine, he defines peace as the tranquility of order. I repeat, Saint Augustine says that peace is the tranquility of order. Order. And sin causes disorder. Whereas prayer and the Holy Spirit causes order. And one of the primary purposes, one of the purposes of the spiritual exercises of Saint Ignatius is, Saint Ignatius says, we're called to seek the will of God and to order the disorder within our lives. And if you look, if we look into our lives, we all have some disorder. Might be some mental disorder, emotional disorder, moral disorder, we call that sin, spiritual disorder, family disorder. In a word, we have disorder. And one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to help us through prayer to order the disorder in our lives. Building upon this idea of ordering the disorder, what about Mary? In the background, in our studio here, we always have Our Lady Guadalupe with us. Maybe you remember that when, on December 12, 1531, when she appeared to Juan Diego and the bishop was asking for a sign, that those roses were growing on the hilltop. And Our Lady Guadalupe told Juan Diego to cut those roses and to bring those roses to her. So he cut the roses and he threw them into his tilma. Kind of scattered, threw them into his tilma. So he opened up the tilma and Our Lady Guadalupe actually ordered. Our Lady Guadalupe actually ordered those roses in his tilma. Then he went to the bishop and opened up the tilma and you could see the image of Our Lady Guadalupe and the tilma of Juan Diego. But I'd like to bring that into our conversation because Mary can help us to order the disorder in our lives. You might even try to do this. If you haven't already arrived at praying the rosary on a daily basis, we're already into the second part of the month of May. Start to pray the rosary. And I really believe when you start to pray the rosary, then through Mary's prayers, there's going to be much more peace, harmony, and order in your life. So we want to pray for world peace, the shalom, but let's start with our own hearts, our own families. Now we move into, my friends, into the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15. Jesus gives us a very famous, well-known image from nature speaking about himself. As we mentioned yesterday, there at the Last Supper, Jesus gives his Last Supper discourse to his disciples as well as to us. And the Last Supper discourse is 5 chapters, starting with John chapter 13 with the washing of the feet, all the way up to John chapter 17. So we've arrived at John chapter 15. So imagine that you're sitting at the table with the apostles as Jesus addresses these words to them as well as to us. And he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. We all know that the purpose of a good vine is to produce fruit and to produce grapes. It's interesting that those grapes turn into grape juice, and then once it's fermented, the grape juice turns into wine, and then the wine can be transformed into the blood of Christ. Hopefully you'll like that. See the sequence of development. Vine, branches, grape juice, wine into the blood of Christ. Blood of Christ comes into us, and we become united with Christ by receiving his body, blood, soul, divinity in Holy Communion. So Jesus says that he's the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. See, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is always speaking in harmony with his Father. He'll go on to say that the Father and I are one. Let's pray that we would have harmony and unity starting in our own families by putting God first. Then Jesus goes on to say that he takes away every branch that does not bear fruit. And everyone that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. So talking about the vine and the branches, there are some branches on the vine that are dead branches. So he's saying that these have to be pruned. Maybe you've done it yourself. You've gotten clippers and you've got a tree outside and you notice that there's some dead branches and you go and you're actually cutting off those dead branches and casting them into the fire. All right, let's stop and ask ourselves. Okay, we are that vine and we have these branches, these vines that are shooting out. What might be some dead branches that have to be cut off us? Well, might be certain tendencies of gluttony. We probably have to maybe cut that out. Some disordered eating pattern we might have, or drinking pattern. We want to get those pliers and cut that off. Well, it might be lust. Who knows? Maybe in the electronics media, maybe we're allowing ourselves liberty to be looking at certain things which are are not pleasing to God. Cut that out. Cut it out. Get rid of it. That will prevent us from bearing fruit and fruit in abundance. Well, it might be a little bit of greed. We have the strong tendency to go to the store or maybe go online shopping, or we're going to certain stores. We're buying things that we really don't need. Why buy it? Why buy an extra pair of shoes? You already have 25. Why buy another dress? You already have 26. St. Paul says we should be content with the food and clothes that we have. With that, we have enough. And the desire for money, a disordered desire for money, material things, St. Paul says, is the root of all evil. So we want to cut off that materialism that can cling to us. In a materialistic society, what else? Well, could be. Let's just be blunt and to the point. Sometimes we're simply lazy. We're lazy. We've heard this many times from Padre Escobito. You get up early to make your holy hour. And we're overcome by lethargy. That inertia sets in and we don't even want to move. And I think, my friends, we should think about the fact that we only have one life to live. And none of us are getting any younger. And life is short. We're here in the morning, and the Bible says, we're like the lily of the field that rises its head in the morning, withers and dies as the sun goes down. So we don't want to be lazy. As the saints say, work hard in this life and we can rest forever in heaven. Work hard now. Rest forever in heaven. My friends, we're talking about the gospel today, which is John chapter 15, 1-8, in which Jesus gives us the analogy of the vine and the branches. When they're cutting off the pruning and cutting off the dead branches. What else? Well, it might be a tendency to, we're always comparing yourself to others. That leads to giving into envy. And then we experience sadness. Why not cut that dead branch off? And don't focus upon others. Don't compare yourself to others. Rather, recognize the gift or gifts that God has given to you and focus on cultivating those gifts rather than comparing yourself to others. That's just going to get you in trouble and cause a lot of sadness, even depression. And then another thing we want to cut off in our lives, my friends, we want to cut off our impatience. It's my way or the highway. It's the microwave spirituality. We want it like that. We find ourselves impatient with the way God is working in our lives. We find ourselves impatient with others, especially our family members. We even find ourselves impatient with ourselves. We fall and we get angry at ourselves. Whereas, nunc chepi, we should get up and start a new life. As St. Juniper of Serra said, siempre adelante, siempre adelante, siempre adelante, nunca atrás. Always forward, always forward, always forward, forward. and never turn back. And then, my friends, we're talking about cutting off the dead branches in our life. As Jesus says, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He takes away and cuts off every branch that does not produce fruit. And he prunes so that we can bear even more fruit. I've come that you have life and life in abundance. And possibly the root cause of all of our problems, a lot of dead branches that we have to cut off, is at times we give in to pride. Pride, egotism, self-love. The egotistic trinity of me, myself, and I. And going back to what we're talking about at the beginning of our conversation on taking the initiative to greet others, giving them the shalom, peace be with you. By taking the initiative of greeting another person, we're practicing humility because we're putting that person first. We're practicing courtesy, one of those social virtues, which condiments life. And charity. Charity, which means willing the good of another, willing the good of others, even though it is painful. Even though it is painful. St. Augustine would go on to say, Lord, cut now, burn now, but save me for all eternity. Wow, St. Augustine. Cut now, burn now, but save me, Lord, for all eternity. So, my friends, we've had a very good conversation today, haven't we? A very good conversation today. Let us turn to Mary. Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Turn to Mary and beg that we would live out the gospel, that we indeed would be a very, very fruitful vine. That we allow our Lord to cut off the dead branches, even though it's painful. Cut off those dead branches, pull out those weeds. So like Mary would be very fruitful. Bless the fruit of your womb. That we would bring forth fruit and fruit in abundance. Now like my friends to impart to you my priestly blessing. And let's pray mutually for each other. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.